This is Joost Maglev of www.joostmaglev.com and you're listening to the Yes Music Podcast, one fan's exploration of the world's greatest progressive rock band.
Welcome to episode 18 of the Yes Music Podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Mulryan. Please remember you can get involved at the site www.yesmusicpodcast.com, where you can subscribe via RSS, via iTunes, via email to the blog post and episode updates. You can read and then comment on the show notes or blog posts. You can follow the show on Twitter at Yes Music Podcast. You can send the show an email, show@yesmusicpodcast.com. You can upload a file via the link on the right-hand side of the website, or you can leave a voicemail message in two ways, either by calling 0844 579 6949 using the mailbox number 39417, or by recording a voice message straight onto the website using the record a message button on the extreme right-hand side, which is what Paul Tomei did again this week, and here's what he said.
Hello, Kevin. I hope you are well, my friend. I think you got a really good thing going here. Like I said before, and I'll say it again, I'm trying to spread the word to everyone I know over here in the States because it deserves it. You are awesome, my friend. And listening to you is painting a beautiful picture of Yes Music, which truly has never been done that I've ever heard of. So hooray for you. Keep up the good work, and I hope you can get all your work done at work so you can spend a little bit more time on this. But I know how everything is in the world with family and working and, you know. But hey, I love what you've done so far. Hope to talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Once again, you are too kind, Paul. I'm blushing here behind the microphone. But seriously, it's fantastic to have your support and to know you're spreading the word. More listeners are tuning in to the podcast on Stitcher.com. If you have a smartphone, you can download the Stitcher app for free. After an exceptionally generous offer from Paul Wilson recently, we have an exciting announcement to make. Paul is in the process of editing my fairly disorganized, unspell-checked notes so we can publish transcripts of all the studio podcast episodes in a single ebook. We are intending to give the ebook away as a small expression of thanks to those listeners who have supported the podcast so far. While researching this, Mike Murphy pointed out that some ebook stores insist on charging a nominal amount for ebooks. And as I have no intention of making money out of what I see as a labour of love and a service to other Yes fans, I've decided that if any money is collected from downloads, it will be donated to a music therapy charity. Scott O'Reilly describes Yes Music in Yes and Philosophy as centered on positive, uplifting, idealistic, and redemptive themes. So it seems only appropriate that we should try and spread a little of the joy we all derive from Yes Music by supporting those who dedicate themselves to improving the lives of others via music therapy. Perhaps some who download the ebook will also feel moved to donate a larger amount. That would be great. So this week's featured album is Open Your Eyes from 1997. Here's a voicemail received this week from Gary Betts.
Hi Kevin, it's Gary Betts here. Listening to your podcast over the week's really been enjoying it. Don't necessarily agree with everything you say, but then we wouldn't be Yes fans, would we, if we all agreed. Looking forward to Open Your Eyes, as I feel this is a much maligned album, and I think it's worth the cost of the album just from the title track itself with its driving bass. Interesting to hear the original of this, if you've not heard it, from Conspiracy, the Billy Sherwood Squire sort of side band. And you can tell how the song has been yesified, for want of a better expression. I think it's a brilliant track. I really do. Having said that, the album has its low points, and I'll leave you to discuss those perhaps on your podcast, but I will leave you with the four words just to remind you what I think of the low points, and that's Man in the Moon. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thanks so much for that, Gary. It's fascinating to note what you say about the origin of the music on Open Your Eyes. Of course, you're right, there's no way we will agree about Yes, other than that it's the world's greatest progressive rock band, of course. And that's no problem at all. I'd like to encourage everyone to get in touch and let us know how much of what I say today you all agree with. My copy of the CD has a slightly bizarre silver sticker on it, which I've reproduced in the show notes. It claims that Open Your Eyes is the first studio album since 1994. So maybe I was just dreaming and Keys to Ascension didn't actually happen. Anyway, the sticker also points out the official band members here, as John Anderson, Steve Howe, Alan White, Chris Squire, and making his debut, after producing, recording, and mixing duties, is Billy Sherwood. Obviously, this means that, despite Sherwood being credited with keyboards, there is no full-time specialist keyboard in the band. This is where a very strange period of Yes keyboard history begins, after Rick Wakeman has left the band once again. Additional keyboard players credited in the sleeve notes are Steve Porcaro on the title track and future official band member Igor Koroshev, who plays on Fortune Seller, No Way We Can Lose and New State of Mind. All songs are written by the whole band, something which I always assume is more to do with legalities than reality, particularly when you consider that From the Balcony only features Steve Howe and John Anderson. I can't see exactly what Alan White or Chris Squire have added to this track. Artwork on the album is by Roger Dean, keeping a definite link with the past, through a slightly updated but definitely classic Yes logo. There's no Roger Dean planet or space painting, however. The logo is just floating on a jet black background, maybe as a reminder that this is Yes, but a new version of the band. So the first track is called New State of Mind, perhaps also a deliberate move to signal a new direction for the band. Certainly the sound is immediately a world away from Keys to Ascension. A swooping guitar effect heralds a dirty-sounding, low, heavy riff from the instrumentalists. It's not classic Yes, and it's not quite 80s Yes, either. There is definitely a new sound here. It's powerful and compelling, with Chris Squire thundering along, providing the basis of an immense groove. The vocal choir enter with Anderson centre stage, but there's more of a feel of Trevor Horn production here than Eddie offered. It's a fine arrangement, and maybe the difference in sound is made by Billy Sherwood's voice as well as his guitar work. Whatever the case, the opening of the album is exceptionally strong, and the overlapping vocal arrangement with chorus behind the main voice is highly effective. It's going to be difficult to say definitively that certain guitar passages are Howe or Sherwood, I suppose, but I'm going to assume that the highlighted guitar passages are Steve Howe, and the supporting role or rhythm guitar parts have been added by Sherwood. Certainly there's a great solo in New State of Mind, which definitely sounds like Howe. The production is fantastic on this track. It handles the complex mix of instruments really well. It's worth listening carefully to what's going on to appreciate it. It's great, high-energy rock music with catchy themes and lots of complex arrangement. Just before the four-minute mark, the music draws to a halt and then introduces a prog-influenced sequence of instrumental figures. I'm a little disappointed that this leads not to a full-blown progressive development section, but turns out to be a bridging passage back to the original heavy riff. I think this is somewhat of a missed opportunity, and maybe points out one of the reasons why this album is not a favourite with most die-hard fans. The end of the track allows the musicians to experiment in a free-flowing mood, which creates an intriguing and effective conclusion to the opening track. The next song is the title track, Open Your Eyes. Once again, the first few moments are promising with a typical Howe acoustic flourish, but then the pop-style main section begins, and we know we aren't going to go anywhere near classic Yes territory here. The vocal treatment, the complexity of the arrangement, and the inventiveness of the writing elevate the track to beyond general pop and rock status, but not as far as Yes fans might expect or desire. The interplay between Squire and Anderson in their vocal answering phrases is beautifully conceived and executed, and the production is once again top-notch. The chorus is a fantastic hook and one of the most catchy refrains since Owner of a Lonely Heart, but I'm sitting here asking myself, is this really what I want from Yes? Undeniably, this is great music, but is it great Yes music? I wonder if part of the reason for the heavier driving rhythms and pop feel is the absence of an official keyboard player in the band. This is certainly meant as a single from the album, and as such it is highly effective. This group of musicians know how to make compelling, sing-along, fun and highly effective pop rock. I like it. I'm just not sure this is an appropriate way for the band to have gone. With the opening of Universal Garden, we feel like we're returning to slightly more familiar territory as Steve Howe cranks up one of his archetypal acoustic solo passages. The title helps as well, as it sounds very much like a John Anderson concept. The instrumental arrangement is fascinating and creative, with spirals of sound creating a mystical bed for Anderson to enter and heighten the mood. One thing puzzles me here, though. If this was in an earlier era of Yes music, we would have the same feeling, the same explorative instrumental parts supporting Anderson's vocal line, but I don't think we would have had the slightly brash bass and drums punctuating the mix. Wakeman, or whoever, would surely have been left to add washes of keyboard sound underneath, and there would be no need for anything else. This would give the track some space to breathe. The way it is here, it sounds to me like they're in a rush to move the music on, which is, I think, the opposite of the Yes aesthetic of previous years, or certainly the classic period. Maybe that's a characteristic of progressive rock, having the confidence in the material to let it expand to its full potential, rather than nervously rushing on to the next full-blown chorus or riff. And this is why, again here, I'm slightly disappointed that we soon drift into a pop-rock rhythm again. There are definitely passages of contrasting feel here, and it's all strong material. It's been given the unifying feature of the heavy rhythm section pretty much throughout, which I think is unnecessary, and could have been omitted to produce a much more satisfying piece. So it's another good solid track, but one which I think had the potential to be expanded to epic scale with different treatment. It's another track that I like, but I feel it's a bit frenetic where it could have been an expansive tableau in classic style. So we are three tracks in, and I'm beginning to feel a little jaded with the general feel of the record so far. Next up is No Way We Can Lose, which features Chris Squire on harmonica and sounds like a quirky pop song with a jaunty rhythm. The chorus is a catchy hook with Anderson-esque sentiment, and there's nothing wrong with that as such. It's well constructed, and I can't argue with the social comment and positivity. It's lighter than the previous tracks, but apart from a couple of Steve Howe solos and Anderson's unmistakable vocal style, there's very little to suggest this is Yes. I like it, but I'd rather Yes at least made an attempt to sound progressive. The next track is Fortune Seller. This sounds, at least from the title, to be more familiar. There's an effective multi-layered vocal passage which introduces the theme, and then the instruments embark on an upbeat section of joyful exuberance. Next, the tempo is taken down a notch for a passage with some more classic-sounding Howe guitar and soaring Anderson vocal line, which provides a good contrast, and in fact there's quite a bit of more progressive work here, including some nice explorative keyboard sequences and more creative arrangement. The drum sound is still a bit harsh for me, but overall this is a much more interesting concoction. A joyous romp with just enough complexity and contrast to make it a worthy Yes song. Towards the end, it's lifted even further by a pseudo-Wakeman Howe set of solos, with Igor Khoroshev on fine form. As Fortune Seller was another up-tempo number, I would expect something with a lot more shade next. A peaceful interlude, perhaps a Howe solo piece. But instead we have Man in the Moon. I assume that's Billy Sherwood singing an octave lower than Anderson when the lyrics start. It gives a new, different, and not unattractive sound to the track. Again, it's a pop tune with the addition of Yes choir-style vocal arrangements. It's well constructed, full of lyrical interest and good catchy hooks, but it continues in a similar vein to some of the other tracks. Sometimes this gives an album a great feeling of cohesion, but here it just sounds all a bit uninspiring and samey to me. Light and shade is missing, so far. Wonderlove brings me a bit of what I'm looking for initially, with Steve Howe's acoustic guitar centre stage, combined with harp and that Howe sitar-type sound. Anderson enters, and it seems like we might finally have a bit of space and freedom for the music to breathe. It lasts for about a minute. Then we are back to the same medium-paced, general-purpose pop rock as before. During this, at least Howe is free to soar upwards with long guitar notes, which adds an extra dimension to the texture, but generally it's a disappointment again. Once again, the production is superb, the texture full, the instruments and vocals placed perfectly in the mix. Taken in isolation, each track is a great piece of work, but taken together as an album, for me, it tends towards musical indigestion. From the Balcony is next, and this is a much shorter track. Steve Howe begins with some calm acoustic guitar, and Anderson enters with a simple and beautiful tune. This duet has the poise and space I've been looking for, and creates a highly effective interlude in the album. There's a nice melodic motif which is repeated by guitar and voice, which produces a sense of synergy between performers, and the overall effect is that of a beautiful love song in classic Yes style, which is great to hear. After that interlude, when Love Shine begins, I feel refreshed and ready for the rockier feel of the track. Yes, it's pop rock, but there's an engaging feel to the track which draws me in better than some of the previous ones. There's good use of that conversational style between Squire's backing vocals and Anderson's lead vocals, while Steve Howe adds characteristic runs and other touches above. There isn't much contrast in the track, but the melody is strong, and the arrangement's once again superb, particularly in the vocals. I wonder how much of the success of this track is down to its place on the album, after From the Balcony. Somehow Someday is next. Anderson starts the track with some mystical-sounding lyrics against Howe's acoustic guitar again. The vocal line is lilting and undulating, giving it a lovely feel. However, I'm really sorry to say that the over-heavy rhythm section is back, and I can feel myself switching off. Chris Squire is doing something similar to some 90125 tracks, but I just don't think it fits well here. It distracts me from the rest of the texture, and all I can hear is another medium-paced rocker, like the earlier tracks. Anderson brings in the opening melody above Squire and White's insistent pattern, which is a good idea. But where flowing lines are contrasted against different textures elsewhere in Yes music, it works because both lines have their own life, their own definite sense of movement. Here, however, the rhythm section line seems to be stuck in the mud to me. I'm back to my musical indigestion. There is a passage of lighter material about three-quarters of the way through, and it's great to glimpse a bit of the world of wondrous stories for a minute, but the brash rhythm section arrive once again, which spoils it for me. I can see what they're trying to achieve here, but for me it just doesn't work. Finally, we reach The Solution. Paul Wilson commented to me recently that he had no idea what this track was on about. So, let's be clear, I love this track. The contrasts here are very well handled indeed. Different sections flow well into each other. The chorus is compelling and catchy with great harmonies, and the variety of tempos and feels in the one piece are very well handled indeed. There are passages of quite prog-sounding rising patterns blended expertly with heavier passages, and a selection of light and shade. Brilliant production combines with fantastic playing and very strong material. It's a whirlwind of complexity and creativity, which steams on to an interesting, comparatively low-key ending. At 5 minutes 25 seconds, it's hardly an epic, but I find it a completely satisfying end to the album. In fact, the track continues for a total of 23 minutes and 47 seconds, making it the longest Yes track of all time, I think. After the end of The Solution, the track uses excerpts from the album combined with sound effects and what appears to be a rainforest soundscape. This is what the band had on the tannoy at the first Yes concert I attended before the show. An interesting addition to the album, and slightly reminiscent of the beginning of Close to the Edge. So, overall then, Open Your Eyes is a strange mix. There's some great music in there, but I get the feeling the band have thrown all the material they had at it, without selecting and perhaps developing a selection of the pieces into something more substantial. I think some tracks are practically filler material, and not really worthy of inclusion. Once again, I'd like a best-of and expanded compilation of Open Your Eyes. I realise it was another new start for the band, and there's a lot of good music in the album, but maybe someone with an independent editing role could have helped. Billy Sherwood is definitely an asset, with strength not only in production and engineering, but also adding fine guitar, keyboard, and vocal lines. However, I think Yes are always incomplete without a dedicated keyboard player, as we will see in Magnification. Or will we? I'll leave the last words on Open Your Eyes to José Javier Delmas, I hope I've pronounced that correctly, from Barcelona, who is at JJ Delmas on Twitter. He describes Open Your Eyes like this. A Squire Sherwood project turned into a Yes album, as 90125 was a Rabin project turned into a Yes album. The results? Interesting, but quite poor for a Yes album. One expects something more from an album with such a logo. If Talk was an attempt for the Yes West to copy Close to the Edge, then Open Your Eyes was some sort of Yes East copying 90125. Although neither Talk nor Open Your Eyes can match Close to the Edge or 90125, in my humble opinion, Talk was a much more accomplished effort. So, do you agree with José? Do you agree with me? Let us know. So that's about it for this week. Thanks so much for listening once again. I hope you've enjoyed it. Next week we move on to the next studio album, The Ladder, from 1999. So your homework, as usual, listen to The Ladder and see what you think. Then listen next week and see if you agree with me. Also, please get involved, as usual, at www.yesmusicpodcast.com, by following at Yes Music Podcast on Twitter, by sending an email to show@yesmusicpodcast.com, by uploading a file or recording a voicemail via the site, or by leaving a voicemail on 0844 579 6949 using the mailbox number 39417. So until next time, just remember, whatever your progressive rock question, the answer is yes.